Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the Public Image Division here at Car Talk Plaza.
What happened? You get caught at animal husbandry again?
No. This isn't about me personally. It's about us. In fact, our profession.
Wait a minute. We have a profession?
We do. And I saw a Gallup poll recently about the most trusted and the least trusted professions in America.
Uh-oh.
Well, you know, it was a bit of a surprise, actually. I was kind of pleased. Car dealers, of course, took their usual place just below three-card Monte dealers and muggers. But this was interesting. Car repair people actually did pretty well.
Really? They must have paid somebody off.
But they've moved up on the list this year. They've passed the Nigerian email scammers.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's great news. But you still have to be careful out there. You really do.
You do, yeah.
You know, so we have some warning signs you should look for. Signs that your mechanic may still be pulling down the average, you know?
So these are signs that your mechanic may not be one of the good guys.
Exactly. Okay. Like this. Yeah. When you ask him if he test drove your car, he says, can't, and shows you his ankle bracelet. Or you tell him you have a Toyota, and he says, I hate German cars. He's fascinated by repeatedly opening and closing your sunroof.
Yeah, bad sign. Bad sign.
And instead of a girly tool calendar, his features bond traders from Goldman Sachs. And before giving you an estimate, he checks the first class airfare to Cabo.
I do that.
That's why it's on the list, because of you. And here's another bad sign. When you ask if he can take care of an irritating squeal, he says, sure. Where do I find the guy? And one final thing to look out for. He looks at my brother's car and says, it's fixable.
Yeah, he has no idea what he's doing.
Well, if you'd like to run your problem by a couple of untrustworthy mechanics, give us a call. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's
888-227-8255.
She took the words right out of my mouth, so to speak. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Gail, and I'm calling from San Francisco.
Hi, Gail.
How are you? San Francisco. What's the weather?
Oh, actually, it was raining last night, but it looks like it's going to be clear today.
So. And what's the temperature like?
Oh, it's kind of,
he does this
know,
to everybody to torment himself. Here we are in the frozen north, and everyone who calls from a place that has the potential to be warmer, he has to find out how much better it is than where he is.
I want to know where I should move to.
Any place but here. I got a hint. Go south, young man. Anyway, Gail, what's up?
Well, actually, my question is kind of about the weather.
Well, there you go.
I have a 1999 Honda Civic hatchback, and it has a leak. And what I want to do is drill a hole in my car to let the water out.
Where's the leak coming in?
Well, that's kind of the question. It seems to be coming in from the hatchback sort of area,
right.
And it comes in and goes.
And it goes where the spare tire is.
Exactly, and it just settles right there around the spare tire.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
So you want to drill a hole at the bottom of that spare tire well.
Precisely.
Precisely, so that the water that does come in.
Right,
you're figuring this
out.
Is a losing fight already. It's a 99. It's 100 years old. As I mean, why bother to try? You know where the water's coming from, don't you?
Well, I did some poking around the interwebs, and they say it comes in through the back lights somehow.
It could.
Oh,
it
yeah.
Could.
Yeah.
You do a lot of driving in reverse. Yeah, well, there's actually a weather strip, I think, between those back light fixtures and the body. So it could be coming through there. There's no water in the lights themselves.
No, not that I can see. And I looked for that. I climbed in there and rattled around in the back of my car in the last rainstorm.
Oh, you'd have to spend a whole weekend in there. You'd have to, like, pack a lunch. But I think that there's a fair chance that they may be wrong. But it, just to be on the safe side, you could get some duct tape, okay, and tape around the interface where those lights meet the body.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that in the absence of a proper seal between the light fixture and the body, the duct tape would provide that seal.
All right.
And when that doesn't work.
Right.
When
that doesn't work, you can do the same thing with the hatchback.
Oh, that would look attractive.
Well, what color is your Honda? Is it white?
No, it's black.
Oh, you can buy black duct tape.
Perfect.
Yeah, I actually like the iridescent orange myself, but for this purpose, I think the black might just do the trick, and you would at least be able to figure out where the water's coming in.
And if you cannot figure that out, where were you planning to drill?
I thought I'd just figure out the lowest point in that wheel well and just drill a couple of holes with a little diamond bit drill and then maybe coat it with epoxy or...
Oh, I wouldn't go that. No. The best you can hope for is that you drill a hole and the car starts to rust from that point. And then in 6 months, the whole car is gone. I would just caution you that you should make sure that you have a spotter underneath and
yes.
you don't drill into the gas tank.
That's
or something
exactly
like that.
What I'm trying to tell you.
I stuck my head under there, and it does look like the only thing that's under it is the muffler on one side.
Yes, and so if you stay away from that, I think the gas tank is four of that. It's in front of where the spare tire is. So, and you can safely drill maybe a couple of holes there. But I would
sure.
try to fix the leak for real. But if you can't and you're desperate and you don't want to spend the money to replace the lights or the weather stripping, then you can go ahead and drill a whole bunch of holes. Yeah. Don't drill anything too big. You might get rats. But go for it. You can't hurt anything.
All right. Great. Thanks,
and it's important
guys.
To get that water out of there because God knows what's growing in it.
Oh, well, you have no idea about the process I go through to empty it. I have a turkey baster that lives in my trunk so that I can empty it.
Oh, God. You're going to have the biology classes come over for experiments. So dry it out. See you, Gail. Keep smiling.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Ann. I'm calling from Anchorage, Alaska.
Hi, Ann.
Oh.
Ann with an E?
Yes, with an E. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're quite welcome. What's going on, Ann from Anchorage?
Wait a minute. She's from Anchorage, Alaska? You don't want to ask her how cold it is?
No, I don't want to know. I don't care.
You don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
Here.
Come on,
no.
Just tell us.
-5.
-5. Oh, boy.
And what are you doing up there?
Freezing!
Dreaming of Hawaii.
Yeah.
So
why do you live there?
Why do I live there?
Because you could live in Hawaii, you know, and then you could be dreaming of Alaska.
Well, I was born and raised here. I'm fifth generation Alaskan. I can't leave here. I'm stuck.
No, you could leave. Have you ever been anyplace else for a prolonged period of time?
Yeah, I just came back from Hawaii.
No. Well, there you go. Well, then you're stuck there.
Okay, well, here's the deal. I am a haggard working mother with two active little boys who I towed around in a very dirty 2006 Toyota Sienna with a cracked windshield and Christmas lights adorning the rooftop.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, I look like Mrs. Griswold. Yeah. It was a gift from my husband.
How old are your boys?
4 and 6.
Oh, boy.
Did they come to Hawaii, too?
No, I left them here in the closet. No, I'm kidding. I took them. Of course, we took the children.
Okay, well, you never know. I mean, they could have been left with an in-law or something.
Oh, no, that's true. No. We took them, and they were very excited to not have to wear snow boots for a while.
Yeah. All right, so continue. Yeah.
Okay, so here's the deal.
It's only a one-hour show, you know, so let's get cracking here.
Okay, so here's the deal. Every time I take a right-hand turn, my brake light comes on, and it goes on for just maybe 5-6 seconds, I count it out. Never a left-hand turn, only a right-hand turn. So my question is, I need the car to be safe. The boys are in it all the time. Can I ignore it?
Of course not.
No,
you can't ignore it.
No, that brake warning light is coming. It's a brake warning light. Warning.
Well, it's not just like a loose wire or something?
Now, there are several brake lights. There's the ABS light.
No.
There's the parking brake light.
Yes.
That's the one that's coming on.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if on this car it's tied into, and it may be because a lot of cars are, that same light is also programmed to come on if, in fact, your brake fluid level is low. Okay, so it could be. So you can do an experiment here. You can make your right-hand turn, and you can hold the emergency. Yours is a foot pedal, isn't it?
Yes.
It may be that the switch is so close to being misadjusted that when you make that right-hand turn, it's turning the switch on, okay, which is thinking that you've actually pushed on that foot pedal.
Okay.
Okay, so you could lift that pedal up as you're making the turn with the toe of your left foot.
Oh, boy, that sounds tricky. Okay.
No, I don't want to, do that. Okay, you're gonna crash the car. Okay. Yeah. There's not much to crash into up there, though, is there? But better than that, you could open the hood and add brake fluid to the reservoir.
Okay.
Okay, you know what that is?
No, I'll make my husband find it.
Yeah, he'll find it.
Oh, he'll find it.
Yeah, and make sure he doesn't put, like, dishwashing detergent in there or something. But you want to put the proper brake fluid in there. It's probably .3.
Okay.
And my guess is the level is low, and when you make right-hand turns, the little float in there is being submerged somehow by the forces involved in making that right-hand turn, and it's making the light come on.
Okay.
Yeah, does that sound good?
Yeah, I'll make my husband do that, and although he is the one that put the Christmas lights on top, so I don't...
I'm sure he can handle it. But okay. if that doesn't do it, you really should take it someplace. By the way, the reason that light comes on when the level is low is either you have a leak, which is not likely in an 06, but more likely your brake pads are worn out.
Oh, man. All right, so I can't ignore it.
No, and you're not driving to Hawaii with it like that either.
I know. All right. I'll just take the boys to school, and then I'll figure out a way to get it done. Okay.
All right. See you, Ann.
Perfect. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Ray. This is Frank calling from Riverside, California.
Frank, what's going on,
Riverside,
man?
Well, guys, I've got a car and marital question for you guys today.
Marital?
So.
When did you get maritated?
October 2009, so I'm still pretty fresh.
And, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Tom's been maritated and marinated and everything else. So go ahead, Frank. Shoot.
All right, so I've got a 2008 Subaru Outback manual transmission, and it's got about 36,000 miles on it. And I've got a wonderful wife named Caroline who is like an 11 out of 10 as far as a spouse, but kind of like a 4 or 5 out of 10 as far as driving the stick.
Driving,
so we just drove cross-country from Washington, D.C. to Riverside, and as soon as we got to Riverside, we heard a huge bang coming out of underneath the car. Car kind of lost power, got it into the dealer, and they said it was basically a catastrophic failure of our center differential bearing on the transmission. And the service guys over there said they'd never seen a bearing that pulverized at 36,000 miles. So my question is
did my wife do it?
You guys are not only great mechanics, but also great mind readers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, are you toughy?
So the center diff is a whole kind of unit that bolts to the back of the transmission on this thing. And I can
tell you right now, your wife had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. Mm-hmm. And even if she did, you'd be a fool to go there. Not this early on. So do you think, did she, what did she do that made you suspect?
Well, you know, it's one of those things. On one hand, I want to be a really good husband and encouraging spouse, and I figured if she learns how to master driving stick, you know, then she can drive tractors and buses and everything else under this.
What, have you hired her on as a farmhand or something?
Well, you know, you never know in this economy, right?
Well, you never know, right?
Yeah.
Did the fellows at the Subaru dealership suggest that she had done something wrong? Because I wouldn't have come to that conclusion if that bearing were worn out.
No.
They said that it's typically caused by hard driving or popping the clutch. And we had a case when we were driving across country that we had to do some hard downshifting in the mountains because just, you know, it was icy it was. But I don't know if it was pure coincidence that the bearing went out at that time or if there's something that we are doing on our side to make it go out. And luckily it was covered under warranty, but from what the guy said, if it wasn't, it would have been a pretty penny.
You bought this car brand new.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And you drove it for the first couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you did it. Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh, did I just step into something?
yeah, you did it, Frank. I didn't want to go there, but now you know why Tommy's been married 5 times. No,
she didn't do it. There's
no, it's
no
unlikely.
And if
you were in the car with her and she were doing something dreadfully wrong, you would have said something,
mm-hmm.
right? You would have noticed.
But you didn't notice anything. Were you carrying a very heavy load?
No, we were actually pretty light.
And is she a lead foot? I mean, is she doing what they suggested as a dealer? Because even at that, I think that the most likely consequence mm-hmm. of driving the car hard would be that you would burn the clutch out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And not the center diff.
Yeah, and actually that kind of puzzled me too in the sense that they said the clutch was fine. It was just this center differential bearing that was pulverized. So,
no.
Yeah, I don't think you can lay in.
I don't think anybody did it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody
except
did.
The guys who made the car.
Okay, so it was just an unfortunate coincidence, and Caroline and I should just plow ahead in our driving exactly. adventures and marriage. So,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Now, were you making her feel guilty?
No, it's more like...
No, I don't like that. No, I mean...
I don't like it either.
Really.
That wasn't a real no. That wasn't a no.
Yeah.
Nah, it's not no.
Yeah, so...
Well, give it to us again.
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Okay. In that case, you may leave, my son.
Well, guys, thanks so much. Caroline's going to feel 100 times better about this one. And great show, and it's been great listening to you guys for the last 20 years.
Thanks for your call, Frank.
Okay.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hey, were you able to solve last week's puzzler, you know, the one with the seven-letter word puzzler? Remember?
I couldn't get it. I was surprised, though, how quickly everyone else around here figured it out.
They did?
I mean, yeah. As soon as we walked out of the studio last week, everyone started yelling out the answer.
Oh, yeah?
Fathead!
No,
Fathead!
They were answering the puzzle. Dope. They always yell that when you come out of the studio.
No. They usually yell a seven-letter word that we can't say on the radio. That's why I thought they were answering the puzzle.
Well, the seven-letter word in last week's puzzler contains all five vowels. And we'll be back with the answer, along with more of your calls, in just a minute.
I love my car. I admit today I've gone too far to enamor myself of my little motor car. I love my dog. I love my pussy cat. I love the rat that lives under the floor and makes his bed from novel legs. I wish I could say the same for you. The day will come soon when I look in your eyes, but I won't see you.
And even though classical music listeners get ear cramps whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler. And
yeah.
This was, I think I mentioned, this was a hint, by
this
the way.
This is a huge hint.
It was a semi-automotive puzzler sent in by someone named Bill Kojak, I think, and it went like this. He wrote, last year, a friend of mine and his wife went on vacation to Key West and spent most of their time either sport fishing on the high seas or carousing on Duval Street. And my wife and I prefer a very different kind of vacation. We like hiking and camping and using Stone Age toilet facilities, so we spend most of our vacation in the woods in California and the Pacific Northwest.
So we got the Pacific Northwest and we got Key West.
Key West.
Pacific Southeast.
Atlantic Southeast. When we returned from our trips, I said to my friend that on our vacation, we saw something that when written down, has all five vowels, and the vowels make up five of the seven letters in the word. In fact, we saw not just one, but a few of these things. My friend said, huh, you know, when we got to Key West, we also saw something that when written down has all five vowels in its seven letters. In fact, we saw quite a few of these as well. Each of us wrote down our seven-letter word and then exchanged papers. Lo and behold, we had written the same word. But what I saw and what he saw were very different things. What did each of us see? And there were lots of hints, including the fact that it was, I mentioned earlier, semi-automotive.
This was an excellent puzzler.
You thought so, eh?
I did.
Well, what he saw were some rather large sport utility vehicles called sequoias. And what we saw were some very large trees called sequoias.
Wow.
Pretty good, eh?
That is superb.
So who's our winner?
We had no winner. Nobody got it right. The winner this week is Kate Kelly from Drewsville, New Hampshire. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Kate will get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which she can pick up our CD, Maternal Combustion, calls about moms and cars.
Which includes the call in which our dear mother, Elizabeth, revealed which one of us she loved the best.
Actually, I think she just wound up saying she'd take a bad case of bed bugs over either one of us.
Anyway, we have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we'll try to answer your car questions at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, I am Laurie, and I'm calling from Manhattan.
Hi, Laurie.
Manhattan.
What's going on?
Well, I have a little problem. A couple of weeks ago, I went to the taping of the TV show, and I won a vehicle.
Really?
You won a vehicle?
Yes, just for showing up.
Really? Where was the show, and what did you win?
I went to a taping of the Nate Berkus show.
Wow.
And my friend and I did not know that they had been preparing for a giveaway of these, it's a 2011 GMC Acadia Denali.
So you and your friend went to the Nate Berkus thing. You got the Denali and she got Bubkus.
She got a T-shirt.
T-shirt. Wow, you whippy.
Wow, what a thrill for her. Wow, this is pretty good. So now you're stuck with this vehicle that you have no room to park.
Well, I don't have it yet. I haven't signed anything. It makes no sense in Manhattan. Mm. I have no idea how to go about selling it, and that's why I'm calling you.
Can't you take the money instead?
No, I don't have that option.
Right.
So this is a brand new car.
Brand new.
Boy, it's amazing how you can get something for free, and it can complicate your life.
Yes, that's why it's a big problem.
I mean, you didn't go there with any expectation or desire or hope that you were going to win a Denali.
Correct.
Right. You just went there to see who the heck is Nate Berkus anyway?
Oh, he's an interior designer, and he has a daily weekday program.
Yeah, you
women
don't know him.
Women are crazy for him.
My brother is such a Neanderthal. Of course I knew him.
Yeah, of course you knew Nate Berkus. He's a liar. Well, in any case, you're now stuck with the car, and you have to sell it, so you have to put an ad.
A number of people have told me that the best thing to do would be to try to strike a deal with the dealer who will be getting the car in for me.
Oh, yeah. In other words, this is going to come to New Rochelle Chevy.
Something like that.
Something like that. And when they get it, they are going to turn it over to you, but you could say to them, look, I will sell you this car.
If I put an ad somewhere, then I have to deal with where do I put the car in the meantime? What if I have an accident on the way to putting it there?
Yeah.
Right. What if it winds up in the East River? All kinds of things could happen. It could get stolen.
I'm near the East River.
Yeah, I know. Then you have to insure it while you have it. So I think that the person who gave you that advice is spot on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you both agree.
We
You're
both
not
agree.
Argue about this after.
Which hardly ever happens.
So you need to find out the MSRP.
Okay.
And you can then say to the dealer, look, this car retails for $41,700, and I'll sell it to you for X. And they'll say, oh, no. We pay a lot less. And then when you find out what they pay for it, call us. Because we want to know. Yeah, and then, by the way, when you do get the money, I'm pretty sure you have to pay income tax on that.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I have to put a chunk aside for after the new year.
Oh, you don't have to pay it right away?
From what I've been told by an accountant, no.
Good.
So I can get a few dollars interest in between.
Yeah, just a few dollars. Is he in prison, your accountant?
No, he's in
prison. Well, he can't be any good.
He's in Minneapolis.
Oh, he's hiding out. Well, good luck.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888. That's a nice problem to have, kind of, almost.
Isn't it?
Well, yeah.
We don't have those problems.
No, in fact, people are trying to take your cars away. No, you have been the recipient, Tommy, of a very nice car of late. You know, that Mazda Miata that we found for you.
I've never driven it.
Well, I know. We'll maybe someday we'll give you the keys.
Well, no, we're waiting for it to get a little warmer.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's all right. Be patient. Couple of months. 6 months. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Noah from Richmond, Virginia.
Noah, what's going on, man?
Hey, I've got a 1966 Pontiac Tempest. That is a smoke machine.
And, of course.
And it's a V8, so it's got dual exhaust that don't connect under the car, and it's one side of the exhaust, the left side, that's producing a bunch of white smoke.
White smoke?
Yeah, it's white smoke, and it smells sweet.
Oh.
And on top of that, there's a little bit of sludge when I check the dipstick with the oil in the engine.
This is your this your daily driver?
No, this is a project car.
You say that again. Well, you have got a classic case of a, probably a cracked cylinder head, maybe a faulty intake manifold gasket. You're getting coolant coming out that tailpipe.
Okay.
And that's the white smoke. And the reason it's coming out one side is because the, cylinders 1, 3, 5, and 7 maybe, half the, every other cylinder in the firing order is getting affected, because that's the way the manifold works.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to take this thing apart.
Yeah, I was kind of worried that it might be a head gasket leak or something like that.
Well, the good news about these engines, how long have you had this car?
I got it back in August from Craigslist, a straight trade for a motorcycle. So no matter what was wrong with the car. the motorcycle was a project too.
And so, what was the motorcycle you gave up?
It was a 86 Honda CB450.
Oh, okay. That seems like a fair trade.
Yeah.
So now both of you have vehicles that don't run.
Exactly.
Oh,
but
that's fair.
Now you've got four wheels and you only had two before.
Yeah,
this what a deal!
This is great. I love it.
No matter what's wrong with this car, it's worth it for me to have made the trade.
No, and this was kind of a fun because does this have a stick shift, 4-speed?
It's a 3-speed automatic, or 2-speed automatic. I'm sorry.
That's all right though. It's got a powerful enough engine. It probably has a 326 V8.
That's exactly what it has.
Yeah, that's a screamer. Even with that 2-speed automatic, that's pretty good. So you're going to have to take the cylinder heads off.
Okay.
Or at least a cylinder head that's affecting that side, that exhaust.
Oh, but somebody has to do that.
No, you're going to do it, Noah.
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Good man.
Yeah. So you've got all the... it's pretty easy, actually.
Okay.
There's a bunch of bolts that hold the manifold
on.
Yeah,
it's all looking right at you.
You pop that manifold off, and you start unbolting the exhaust manifold, and you take off the cylinder heads. You take them to the machine shop, and they'll tell you if one of them is cracked.
Okay.
I would take both of them off, by the way. I mean, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it.
Right.
You want to keep this car forever, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course.
So you might as well start by spending all your money on it.
Yeah.
You have a torque wrench? You have a torque wrench and all that stuff?
I've got a friend who has a torque wrench.
Yeah, good. Yeah. By the way, when you do have this all apart, you might as well put a new timing chain on it.
Okay.
I mean, what the heck?
Yeah, what the heck?
Because then when it doesn't run afterwards, it'll be 7 things that it could possibly be that are keeping you from running instead of just one. Anyway, go for it. You are going to learn a lot about automotive theory.
Yes.
Okay.
Have you done anything on this of this nature before?
I haven't done engine work, but I've been working on cars forever. I did the rag joint and replaced a bunch of steering elements on this Tempest already.
Oh, the rag joint. Well, that's not quite up there with taking the cylinder heads off. But
exactly.
But it's not rocket science.
It isn't?
No, it's not.
I've been telling my wife that for years. Anyway, Noah, good luck and send us some photos. Let us know how you're making out.
All right, thank you, guys.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. We could do a web feature on how Noah wrecked this car. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
And boy, am I excited to be talking to the premier car fixers on the planet.
Oh, boy. Well, let's see how that works out for you. Who's this?
What part of the South are you from?
Well, I'm from Austin, Texas, and my name is Mary Gordon.
Hi, Mary. Hi. What's
No, I'm sorry. It's Mary Gordon. It's a double first name.
Oh, Mary Gordon.
Mary Gordon.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, like Peggy Sue, Mary
Gordon.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Of course, because you're a Southerner.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, we have those kinds of names up here. We call my brother, Hey You. That's a double name.
Well, when people say, Hey You, Mary Gordon, it is a mouthful.
It certainly is. Anyway, how can we help you?
Well, I know that you'll help me. Well, first of all, I drive a 2005 Mazda Tribute, but the best Tribute about this car is that it is burnt orange, and that is very important in Texas, if you know what I mean.
Burnt orange.
Uh-huh. That's the color of our esteemed football team, the University of Texas Longhorns.
Yes.
Wait, did you paint it orange, or did it come that way?
I bought it. It was it came from the factory, and I went out 3 days before we won the national championship.
This may be a color that's only available in Texas.
And not only that, the Mazda dealership had it up on a lift like 200 feet in the air to show their support for the Longhorns.
Yeah.
And I took my old Tribute in, and then when I saw that orange thing in the sky, I said, I've got to have it.
That's mine.
They pulled it down, and I drove it off.
Wow.
Good for you.
That's not the problem.
No, that's the good part of the story.
Yeah. That's the background, and of course, safety is my number two concern. The color is number one.
Yeah,
always.
Yeah. Well, we know that, evidently. But continue.
Okay, let me sum up this problem. My car started making a high-pitched one-note sound constantly. It's an E flat above the C, above middle C.
Oh, really? That.
Yeah. Oh. And the only time it goes off is when I hit the brake. I did stop by the dealer when it started this.
Wait, I don't understand. When does it make this noise?
Every minute that the car is running.
Oh.
And if you tap the brakes, then it goes away.
Yes.
You must be moving, though, to get the noise. It doesn't do it when you're stopped.
Well, let me tell you this.
Oh.
When I get out of the car, it continues. I have waited in the car up to 30 minutes,
yeah,
and it's still going on. Mm,
really?
But in the morning, you know, it's not there until I start moving.
Uh-huh. So you took it to the dealer.
And they didn't have a mechanic on standby for me, and the guy came out and he said, it's from your brakes, it's not a big deal.
Oh, so he heard the noise.
He heard it. He didn't think I was crazy. He heard the noise, but he said it's no big deal.
Bring Wait a minute. How, he said you are not crazy?
He didn't mention that.
Oh.
He didn't get that far. He just looked at me.
Well, I thought for a while you had a bad case of tinnitus.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I thought it had to do something with myself, but he finally heard it.
I had that for a long time until I realized it went away when my brother went away.
Well, I had just had my eyes dilated, and I thought this sound had something to do with my eyes, but it actually is the car.
Yeah, it is the car. And the fact that you can hear it even after you've turned the engine off.
Yes.
Suggests that it's a very, very small leak, and he's probably right. It isn't dangerous. But there's no reason to wait to get it fixed unless the dealership is so far away that you have to pack a lunch and pitch a tent and whatnot.
Now, that's if you go to North Austin. I just do business in South Austin where I live. So what do you think this is?
Well, it's the vacuum brake booster.
The vacuum brake booster.
Yeah, the way most power brakes operate is they use the vacuum that's created by the pistons to exert force on a diaphragm in something called the vacuum brake booster.
Okay.
And if there's a small leak in that diaphragm, you'll get the following sound.
Exactly.
So you probably need a booster. I guess it's possible that it isn't the booster. It may be a crack in a fitting. But somewhere this thing is losing vacuum. And the best way for them to find out where it is to smoke the thing.
Oh, to smoke it.
Yeah, we have a machine that actually puts smoke into any device like this that's supposed to hold vacuum.
Uh-huh.
And when you see the smoke coming out, you know you found the leak.
Oh, I'm feeling better already.
I can tell. You sound better.
Well, let me tell you, I sing a lot, and I mean, you know, just to amuse myself, and I'm stuck on this one note, and the only song I can think of is Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells, Jingle, and then I have to stop all the way. So I've tried Johnny One Note. You know, I'm just running out of songs on the same
Yeah, you don't have to compose a song. Poor Mary Gordon One Note.
Okay.
If we see it on the charts, we'll know it's from you.
Okay. Well, I'll be number one on the charts, and I'm going to take this thing back to the dealer and tell him I need something to fix my vacuum brake booster.
You got it, kid.
You got it.
Oh, thank you.
See you, Mary Gordon.
Thank you. Okay, thanks a million.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. All right, look, we have to take a short break. And when we come back, what happens then?
NPR repossesses the microphones.
No. We welded them on to protect against that. What's next is the brand new puzzler, which is from my What's Not in a Name series.
What does that mean?
Stay tuned, Grasshopper, and all will be revealed to you. We'll be back with the new puzzler and more of your car questions in just a minute.
Piston rods are knocking. You done burnt up all of my valves. You
joint needs greasing, and my spark plugs all are burnt. My universal joint needs greasing, and my spark plugs all are burnt. You done knocked out my drive shaft and messed up my distributor points.
And even though the little toe argues that the ear is actually the least useful human appendage whenever we say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler.
Okay, man. Go. Go.
This is from my What's Not in a Name series. And it's it's about names of states. And this was sent in by someone named Arnie Hartica. Who says the following. For some time now, I've been a New York Times puzzle addict, and hardly a week goes by that I don't learn at least one new word. Me too. Last week was no exception, and I realized right away that this knowledge could be used as the basis for one of your cheesy little puzzlers. So here goes. I'm going to list 9 states of the Union. Are you ready for them?
I'm ready. Yeah, go ahead.
You don't look ready. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Here we are. There's Maine, Vermont, New York. I don't see you writing these down. Iowa, Texas, Utah, Florida, Idaho, and Wyoming. Okay?
Yeah, that's 9.
So the question is, what makes these states different from all the others? And I'll give a hint. You don't have to think twice to know that Mississippi and Alabama are not eligible to be on the list.
Okay. Give me the list again.
Again, you want it. You're writing down? You're writing
well,
them now.
I'm going to write it down.
All right. New York.
Yeah.
Iowa. Mm-hmm. Maine. Mm-hmm. Florida. Mm-hmm. Utah. Mm-hmm. Wyoming. Vermont. Texas. And Idaho.
Okay.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of an AccuTouch 9500 massage chair in espresso premium leather with AccuPoint detection system to measure the length of your back and map key pressure points. Downloadable HD Connect Bluetooth iPad app to create customized programs by touching a map of your back on the screen. Got it? 16 preset massage programs and a coin slot for use by other family members, especially my brother, and send it along to Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
Now, if you have a question for us about your car, give us a call. It doesn't have to be about your car. It can be anything you want it to be.
Sure.
Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Robin calling from Batesville, Arkansas.
Hi, Robin from Batesville, Arkansas.
I have a car versus animal question.
Ah.
Is the animal a relative?
It's my baby puppy Double Doodle.
Double Doodle.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
What pray tell is a Double Doodle?
Well, his mother's a Golden Doodle, and his father is a
Labradoodle. Oh.
Ah. So he's about a 60-pound, 8-month-old puppy.
What's his name?
Mort.
Okay, there's Mort. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the animal part. What's the car part?
Well, he gets car sick.
Oh.
And we have a 2008 Chevy Trailblazer, and he got car sick in the cup holder.
That's good.
To an extent, but it oozed down into the handbrake area. So I got it all cleaned up except for what oozed down into the handbrake area. And now the question is, my husband says we got to take it to the body shop to get all that taken out because it kind of as it's warming up, it gets kind of smelly.
Well, you know why? Because the exhaust system is right underneath that. So the floor right by the handbrake lever is getting pretty warm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it gets a chance to, like, bring those aromas back to life.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Boy, oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Lucky you.
And it's not my car, so I'm not so worried about it.
Yeah, of course.
But I think you could just put a hose down there and hose it out.
Oh, like a water hose?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
See, the water has no place to go. I mean, all that's sealed up pretty carefully.
Well, I've lost my bet now, you know.
Oh, you have, eh?
Yeah, I just knew I could just do that, but I haven't done it.
But you know what you could do? You could fashion.
She turned the car upside down.
That'll do it. Well, that was the third suggestion. We're about to spin the wheel of misfortune. But, you know, you have a vacuum cleaner that probably has a, what do you call that thing, a very narrow attachment.
Right.
But even that's too wide. So what you need to do, you ready for this?
Yep.
With some duct tape and perhaps a soda straw, you need to fashion, that thing is called a crevice tool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you need to make a crevicette tool. Crevicette. So you need to have an extension on that crevice tool that you can wrap around it with duct tape, and you can get in there and individually, you don't have to pull the pieces into the vacuum. All you're going to do is pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Pick them up, pull them out, remove them by hand, then go after the next piece. Right? So you're kind of using the vacuum now as a magnet almost.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
How many pieces do you think are in there?
Oh, probably a handful.
A handful. And how long have they been there?
2 weeks.
What's that? What's the half-life of dog food smell? Because this isn't just dog food. It's dog puke.
Stomach acid.
Oh,
yeah.
That could last forever.
Yeah.
But the larger question is, how's Mort doing with car sickness
well,
now?
Well, as long as he rides in the Cadillac, he's really happy. Because it must be a smooth
so
ride.
So am I. Oh, so, my dogs, we have, my wife and I have two border collies. And I've decided that we have to do something called the barkometer, because there are some cars, and we test drive all different cars, and there are some cars that those dogs get into that they hate.
And they start barking?
Well, they start whining. So the older dog will do something like, and they let you know that they don't like it. So it may be that, Mort just doesn't like this car, yeah.
I think so, because he's been very good in my car, and he has to sit in the front seat because the other dog sits in the back.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure he's been banned from your husband's car now anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, try the soda straw thing.
Will do.
That may work, but don't use the hose.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
All
right. Thank you.
See you, Robin. Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ellie from Chicago.
Hi, Ellie.
Hi, Ellie.
I was one of the unfortunate souls that got trapped on Lakeshore Drive a few weeks ago in our snowstorm.
Yes, we heard about that.
I was in the car probably about 12 hours straight. The car got buried in ice and snow on the drive.
Really? And you sat in that car for 12 hours?
Yeah. Till about 2:30 in the morning, and then they came and rescued me, and we had to leave the car on the drive.
So for those of us who don't remember all the details, what exactly happened? It was just a snowstorm, right?
Yeah, we had this huge snowstorm. It started about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we knew it was coming, and so I left early from work, and I have lived in Chicago all my life and know a lot of different ways home, but this seemed like the best route at the time.
Yeah.
And got onto the drive about 4 o'clock, and what should have taken me about, it was 5 miles before I came to a full and complete stop. That took about 3.5 hours to go 5 miles.
And the rest of the time, you just didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, so I put the car in park, and that was at 7:30 at night, and it was 2:30 in the morning that the fireman came and knocked on the window to leave.
So you sat in the car with the engine running?
Yeah, luckily I filled up before I left, so I was warm.
Yeah, it's always good to get tanked up when you leave work.
So, I wish I had.
So you weren't worried that you were going to succumb to CO poisoning?
Yeah, no. They had on the radio, I was listening to the radio, and they said, make sure your tailpipe is cleared and everything. So periodically I get out of the car and knock the ice out of the windshield wiper and make sure that the tailpipe was cleared from the snow.
Good for you. And I'm curious, how much gasoline did you use? Probably very little, probably an eighth of a tank or something, right?
Actually, yeah, I was surprised. I have a 2002 Ford Escape, and it used about, it was a half a tank of gas, actually, by the time all was said and done.
So what's your question?
So my question is, the next day when my husband and I went to go rescue the car, just from the pictures from the news and also that there was snow all the way up to the top of it, I think it was completely buried in snow. But we got in and it turned over right away and was great. So we thought everything was fine and pulled away and immediately knew something wasn't right with the engine. It just didn't sound good and it was running really rough. So we pulled over and opened up the hood and it was covered in ice and snow.
Uh-huh.
Figured that probably wasn't good, but we took it home. We were able to get it home, put it in our garage, and then just put heaters all around it for the next couple days and just tried to get all the ice and snow out of it.
Okay.
But ever since then, it runs, but it really isn't very happy to be running. It is at idle. It runs really rough, like it sounds like it's going to stall out. But then it kicks into gear, and like it's like second and third gear are fine, but then fourth gear it starts misfiring and kind of lurching a little bit, and like it's not happy again.
Is the check engine light on?
Yes.
Good. Because when you take it in to get it tested, the code that it's going to give up is engine misfire.
Okay.
And I'm guessing that that water that got in there and froze, and who knows what happened all those hours that the thing was sitting out there all by itself, probably caused one of the insulators on one of the coils to crack or a spark plug to crack. So you've got a classic misfire where one of your cylinders is not firing. That explains why it's running rough.
Okay.
And that explains why the power is low and why the light is on.
Okay.
So you need to take it someplace. You could try just taking the plugs out and putting new ones in. That might do it.
Okay.
You know, but is your husband, are you handy?
All right.
No, that's it.
Too late to reconsider.
Go directly to the dealer and he'll fix it for you.
Yeah, and then it'll be running like a champ again.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
Well, you were very brave. I don't know if I would have stayed in the car, although I'm sure the authorities were warning you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. It was safer inside the car than going outside. It was really pretty awful.
But it is dangerous.
How close to home were you when you finally pulled over?
I was about 5 miles from home.
Oh, yeah, you would have died. You never would have made it.
It wouldn't have been.
Yeah, you would have been frozen along with the engine. You would have been misfiring, too. Well, you did the right thing, Ellie. I'm glad you made it through it all right, but what an experience, huh?
Oh, very much so, yeah.
So how many others were with you on this adventure?
They estimated somewhere between 800 to 1,000 people stuck on the drive at some place.
Wow. If only we had the hot chocolate concession, we could have cleaned up there, Frank.
Yeah.
See you later, Ellie.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there. This is Eric from Phoenix. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, Eric. What's happening, man?
I have a situation here, but it's not really a problem. I bought a 2005 Lexus 330 in 2008 with my wife. And I'm fairly certain some little old lady owned it before we did. It started about a year ago where my 10-year-old was looking for something under the front seat passenger seat and pulled up a $100 bill from there.
Huh.
And we thought that was really funny, and we liked it.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks ago, though, I'm cleaning under the front seat, and I pull out another $100 bill from there.
Oh, really?
And so now we're curious. So I'm hoping that there's more in there. And so my question to you is, if you were going to stash a bunch of cash in a 2005 Lexus, where would you stash it, and how do I get to it?
So this bill
I'd
was...
look under the seat.
This bill was in relatively plain sight?
No, neither one was in plain sight. My daughter reached under the left front corner and found it, just looking for something else.
She was in the front seat passenger and
looked in the left side.
Looked where the hump is, there's a hump in the tunnel.
On that side, but definitely under the
seat. Under the seat.
But then the one I found, I was actually cleaning from underneath in the back, and I thought I'd gotten all the junk out, and then I, found a piece of paper, and it turns out to be another one.
Yeah.
Did you take the seat out and see if there's $1,000 under there?
Well, that's what I'm hoping. I haven't done it yet because I don't know how to
take it out. You haven't done it yet? What are you,
taking it out?
You kidding me?
Well, I'm worried that if there isn't more money under there, I've destroyed the seat itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
Wow.
I think there's a good chance there's more money.
I'm hoping.
How much did you pay for the car? Maybe you should put all the money in there.
I've gotten back a little of it.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to do this you got to do this right now. I think you got to take the seat out and unbolt. It's not too big a deal.
No.
But before you do that, you can probably grope around a little more and pull the carpet back enough to see if there's more money. There may be thousands of dollars stashed in there.
Well, and that's the part I can't understand, because we bought it from a dealer, and I would have figured that if it was easy to get to, they would have found it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is a Cracker Jack car. No, I think that somebody leased this car and then turned it in and forgot to clean all the money out of it. Somebody was doing some illicit activity with this. I think so.
Ooh.
Yeah, and where better to hide the money? I mean, if you put the money in a box of some kind or a receptacle, and then you have to hide it in the car, but everyone knows where to look. They look where the spare tire is, where the jack is. They look under the hood. But no one's going to actually look under the carpet.
No.
Unless they're really determined.
I looked for where the edge of the carpet was, and I don't see one under
the seat. All right, then get a razor knife. Cut that baby open.
I will go out and look again.
Well, if you remove, maybe not even the seat, there's a threshold basically where the door is. You can take the screws out of that, and that'll allow you to lift up the carpet. There's a kick panel on the right-hand side. It's where your right thigh or your right calf would be if you was sitting in the seat. You can take that off. That usually just pops off. There may be a screw or two that holds that on. And then it will allow you to start to pull up the carpet from that corner. And I know that's the opposite place of where you found the money, but you can then get your hand under there and feel around. Also, you can get in the back seat and reach up under the seat. Put the seat all the way forward and reach up under the carpet under the seat. And also okay. under the seat itself. There may be money stashed under the seat cushion.
Hmm.
I tell you, the first time you find another $100 bill, you're going to tear the whole car apart. Yeah, so
okay.
Hopefully you won't find anything, but if you do, can we split it?
Absolutely. I'll give you a finder's fee.
Yeah, well, good luck. And if you find anything, call us back.
Okay, will do.
All right, man. Good luck.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. It's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher Penalosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Emily Mackey and Ariel Niedermeyer. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Yucatan, Raisin Bran, Chopped Pecan, Steak Diane, Caramel Flan, Black and Tan, Hungry Man, Weight Loss Plan is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Buzzoff. The Car Talk liaison to the British Isles is Isaiah Oldchap. Our director of deep sea research is Mariana Trench. Our Jamaican crew chief is Monroe DeBoat. Our TSA screener is Pat Matukas. Our director of disaster preparedness is Evan Stubetsi. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the pigeons wearing earmuffs in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And don't drive like my brother, please.
And don't drive like my brother.
Right.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1111, Saunter, through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, all about driver distraction.
Huh? Oh, sorry, I was doing my nails.
See what I mean?
Actually, there's a very good reason we set up a brand new section on driver distraction.
Yeah.
Somehow, all this technology, you know, phones, Blackberries, hair dryers, TVs, is all showing up in cars because no one is stopping it.
Yeah. What's next? Built-in Donkey Kong?
Yeah, you know, so we're starting a driver distraction research area led by a prominent neuroscientist named David Strayer, and he's sharing and collecting information on driver distraction.
It's the driver distraction area on the homepage at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the FBI starts a least wanted list whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.